Welcome to installment 210 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. In today's portion, we will continue our discussion of the Metzeda, the person with an impurifying skin condition commonly known as a leper. Positive Commandment 110 will be the purification period for this Metzeda at the end of his impure period. Today's commandment, Positive Commandment 110, involves the first stage of this purification procedure. There are actually three stages the Metzeda must go through. Once his skin condition has cleared up, he must call the Kohen, and the Kohen, who is commanded to respond on the very day in which he is summoned, investigates to see whether the condition has actually disappeared. If it has, the purification process, the first stage, that is, takes place on this first day. This is today's commandment. There is a second stage which takes place on the seventh day afterward, which is Positive Commandment 111, which we will discuss in tomorrow's portion. Finally, on the eighth day, he brings the sacrifices of a Metzeda, which we have discussed previously. In today's commandment, 110, the Rambam gives us a general overview of all the different types of purification processes which are utilized for people that have become tamei or spiritually impure. There are three general categories. One of them, a general one used in all cases, and another two, which are for specific conditions. The first one, the general one, involves purification through immersion in a mikveh, a specially constructed pool of water, or a natural spring, in which every single type of impure person must immerse themselves as part of their purification process. For some types, this is their only purification procedure which is necessary. For others, there are other things which must be additionally taken care of. But everyone has to go through immersion in a mikveh in order to be purified. The second one mentioned by the Rambam is specific to people who have become impurified through contact with a dead body. This is Mei Nida, the water of the Parah Aduma, as we discussed in previous shiurim, that a red heifer was slaughtered and burned, and the ashes sprinkled on natural spring water, and the combination sprinkled on the impure person. The third type of purification is specifically indicated for the Metzeda, either a person that has encountered this skin condition, or a house, which also can become impure, as we will be discussing in the coming classes. The purification procedure for a Metzeda, either a person or a house, is specifically indicated in the Chumash, in the beginning of Parshas Metzeda, in chapter 14 of Leviticus. We will describe the procedure briefly. First, a clay vessel, a brand new vessel, is obtained. Then there are several different types of materials which must be obtained to be used. First, a stick of cedar wood, an amma long, approximately a foot and a half, must be obtained. Secondly, azev, usually translated as hyssop, a twig, a tefach long, approximately the width of a fist, must be obtained. In addition to the cedar and the hyssop, we need shni selas, wool which has been dyed red with the weight of a shekel. In addition, there must be two live birds taken specifically for the purification procedure. Then mayim chayim also must be obtained, natural spring water, a raviz of which, approximately 3.5 ounces, is placed in the clay vessel. Then one of the two birds, the most perfect of the two, the better of the two, is slaughtered, and its blood made to drip into this water until the water changes color. Then this bird, which has been slaughtered, is buried in front of everyone present, since this bird may not be utilized for any purposes. It is asur behana. After this, we take the stick of cedar and the twig of hyssop and tie them together with the red wool. Then the wings and tail of the bird, of the remaining living bird, are held close to these three objects and dipped in the water with the blood of the slaughtered bird and sprinkled 7 times on the hand of the Metzedah. The living bird is then taken inside the city and thrown over the wall, evicted outside of the city, and sent away to disappear. Even should the bird return, it must be sent away again, even 100 times, until it no longer returns to the city. Thereafter, the Metzedah has to be completely shaven from head to toe. Every exposed part of his body must be shaven absolutely smooth with a razor by the Kohen. We will discuss this aspect in tomorrow's portion, since this is done a second time 7 days later. Afterwards, the Metzedah immerses himself in a mikveh. Although he is still not purified totally, he nevertheless is allowed to return to the city. All of the details governing this purification process are told to us in Masechta Nagoyim, the tractate dealing with all the laws of Tzeras. This is clearly a procedure which is full of mystical significance. The Midrashim give us a few hints as to why these particular species were picked out. The Midrash tells us that a primary cause of the person's problem and his misdeed was his own arrogance or gaiva. Therefore, cedar wood was used, a high-standing tree, to symbolize this person's arrogance. At the same time, however, it is taken with a piece of hyssop, a very lowly tree, and tied together with red wool, called tselas, meaning worm, indicating that the person must humble themselves before God, and even treat other people with humility, and thereby counteract his own natural tendency towards arrogance. The birds also correspond to the person's misdeed, since, as we've discussed previously, the condition of tzeras usually comes upon a person for his slanderous speech, lashon hara. Birds are then taken. Birds are constantly making noise, are constantly chirping away, and this person has also chirped too much, also has involved too much in idle, destructive talk. One bird is slaughtered and buried in order to show the person that should he mend his ways and no longer speak slanderous talk, then he will never have any problems. However, one is sent away, and there is always a chance it could return, indicating to the person that he must always be on guard not to return to his previous ways. Why is it that this condition of tzeras was singled out among all the forms of impurity to have a special purification procedure, whereas the only other one to be singled out was tumas meis, the impurity conveyed by a dead body, which is the source of all impurity? What is so serious about tzeras that it was singled out? We can see its extreme seriousness from the concluding words of the Rambam in his legal code, in the laws of tzeras, where he explains the seriousness of idle talk and lashon hara, and says that a person should always keep away from the talk of evil people, because first they speak exaggerations and empty words, and eventually they will come to speak against the tzaddikim, righteous people. Eventually they will go further and speak against the prophets and against their prophecies. And eventually this will lead them to be kafir be'ikir. They will rebel against God himself. As explained many places in Chassidus, that speech is not only a means of expressing this which is in thought, that after a person speaks, this has the power of creating new thoughts and new types of speech. That just as on the good side, when a person speaks, he can come up with more good ideas than he would have come up with had he kept his mouth closed and only thought, which is incidentally one of the reasons for studying Torah out loud, the same thing applies in a negative side. That just as when a person has anger, for example, in their heart, speaking about it will bring out the anger even more. So to speaking about exaggerations and evil talk will eventually lead people, the Rambam says, to be kafir be'ikir, rebel against God himself. Another serious aspect of Lashon Hara was explained by the Baal Shem Tov regarding the Talmudic statement, Lashon Tlisoi, Kotel Tlisoi, that 3 people end up being killed by telling Lashon Hara. First of all, the person Who speaks the Lashon Hara himself is doing a sin and is punished. Second of all, the one that listens to the Lashon Hara is also contributing to the sin, since he is encouraging, tacitly accepting and encouraging the person to tell it. In addition, the one that's being spoken of also is harmed. As it's been explained, that when one speaks about a bad aspect of a person, this has a certain spiritual power of actually making the person behave in such a way. Let's say there is a person, for example, with an attribute of stinginess. By not speaking about his stinginess, the person might be able to conquer his own stinginess and become a generous person. However, the speaking of Lashon Hara itself and talking about this person's stinginess has the spiritual effect of making this person behave in a stingy way. Therefore, it is like a self-fulfilling prophecy. By speaking badly, we can somehow cause the person, even though he does not hear it, we can spiritually cause him to behave in a way which concurs with what we say. Therefore, speaking Lashon Hara even harms the person who is being spoken about. The temptation, however, is great, as the Rashbi, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, declares in Yerushalmi that first he thought that it would have been better if people had been created with two mouths. One would remain pure and be used only for words of Torah, and the other one could be used for a person's everyday necessities and secular speech. However, he reconsidered and said, imagine what would be if a person had two mouths. With all the Lashon Hara, the slanderous speech which they speak with one mouth, imagine how much they would speak if they had two. However, just as the power of speech has a damaging potential in it, so too on the good side, that good speech of Jews about one another and to one another can have the greatest effect. As it is said that God looks upon us in the heavens, and when he sees Jews speaking favorably about each other, he nods his head in satisfaction, as a parent who is watching two children getting along, and thereby gives us his blessing when he sees us living in peace and friendliness together. Thank you for tuning into the daily portion of Sefer Mitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor one of the installments, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.